As we continually move through this patriarchal series, I'm very pleased that the Lord is allowing us the opportunity to see how He works in a family. I'm very pleased that the Lord is, as a family, we're able to see these things and start paying attention closely so that we can see what's optimal. What does God really want from us as people? What does He want from us as a family of God? What does He want us to bring and give other people in the world because of the fact we should be the type of people, and if we are the kind of people that can set examples so that other people can benefit, so that they can grow? Because it's not all about just us, but often people get the tendency to feel that it's just about us. Now, our title for the day, the Patriarchal Series. You know, I realize that some people may not realize what patriarch means. We don't use that word too much. Patriarchal comes from the word patriarch, or patriarch. Arch is the arche. You get the word arche from the Genesis, the patri, or the father, the pater. So you have the father, the series of fathers. Now, the Bible doesn't go into great detail calling people the matriarchs, but rest assured, without a matriarch, there is no patriarch. So maybe one day we'll focus in a little bit on the matriarchs. Maybe when we get to the end of Genesis, we may go back through and maybe one day do a review of just some of the mothers and how they help fold and forge this nation. But in the patriarchal series, we have zeroed in on Jacob/Israel. And this is an amazing thing, because we've seen a semblance in Jacob, Israel, a symbol and a type and figure of being born again. Do you feel me? We've seen in a sense where a man was taken from who he was, and because of God's divine decree and because of this person being willing. Notice God didn't just do it. And some people would think God could have just said, I'm going to make Israel. But no. It didn't work like that. You wanted to be blessed. The blessing that I give you is that now I give you a new name, a new identity, that you are with me now. In this series, we have seen Jacob come back together and mend a fence with Esau. No doubt that was hard. After 20 years, roughly, of you being the one that caused the problem in the family, you came back humbly. Some people will never come back humbly to people in their family that they know that they have wronged. And this is not what God wants. We saw him come back and we had this to happen. And now you would feel like everything should be fine. If it were one of those fairy tales that they used to tell us when I was a boy, it would have easily been something like this. How do they normally do it? They usually do something. They lived happily ever after. We're dealing with real people here. And since we're dealing with real people, they keep living. They keep moving. They keep having to make decisions. So in this one here, we see in chapter 34, when the father does not maintain his God-given role as leader, there are serious consequences. Did you hear the words that came from my mouth? The words that came from my mouth are coming from the totality and the compendium of the books that we call the Bible. If you don't think that the Bible is full of dealing with family situations, obstacles, opportunities that often are looked over and thwarted, then you don't know the Bible. The Bible is not just talking about God came out of the sky and God did A, B, and C. God deals with real people. He deals with lives and he deals with families. And since this is the first book in the Bible, I believe that God is showing himself strong in the behalf of those they need to know who he is.
The scripture says, not the scripture, but the passage here that I'm going to deal with today. I say, when the father does not maintain his God-given role as a leader, there are serious consequences.
God, if I were just to roll through the book of the Kings with you all again, you know I'm telling the truth. You know I lie not. You know I lie not and that I tell the truth. But let's go in and deal with this right here and let's see these serious consequences. Some serious consequences are detrimental forever. Some, they just give a problem for a while. But let me tell you something, don't you ever forget. The very thing that is modeled by a father often is given to the children from generation to generation to generation. What if we were to look at our family? What if we could go back to five generations of our fathers? I have a matriarchal side, aside from my mother, and I have a patriarchal side, aside from my father. What if I could go back five generations from my daddy and see what his daddy taught his children? Five generations from my grandmother on my daddy's side to see what she was taught. Five generations from on my mother's side, from her dad and from the mother. And see where we are as a family. And see if those people that were before us took these kind of things into consideration when they were bringing children into the world. Or did they let the culture mold and shape their families? Last thing before I get into the blessed word of God that is blessed forever, amen, because he's blessed and he extends that to us, is that number one, as the children of God, including you, Naomi, if a person brings a child into this world, you owe that child to know God. But how are you going to help a child know God if you don't know God? Let me tell you one blessed thing. This is number two. When a husband, when a wife, when they live and they point their life toward God, and the children are learning to point their life toward God, I think every family should experience happiness. I think every child, if they can experience happiness, should be able to experience blessedness. That should be our goal. Our goal should be to be the kind of family that God wants us to be and model it to the world. Well, the only way you're going to do that is as an individual. You model it wherever you go, and it spreads. Dries, are you going to read today? Let me hear what you got in the first verse.
And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her.
The word of God says, we know that they had gone to Shechem. We know because we were reading earlier that he was going to meet Esau one day in Seir. And now he's gone to this place called Shechem. And Hamor, the Hittite, one of the descendants of Ham, one of the descendants of Canaan, prince of the country. Are you following me when I say prince? What would that mean that his father would have to be in? What kind of class?
King.
He's definitely a king, a chief in the ruling class. Does this need to be silenced? Thank you. Now, what we deal with is that this child is somebody. This child is a child that no doubt possibility was used to being able to have privilege. Well, Dinah goes out seemingly on her own. And I don't know if Josephus is right when I read it to Josephus, but Josephus said she went out during the time when they were having festivals. Festivals to their gods. I don't know if that's true. Somebody might say, well, Tim, you're tampering with the minds of the witnesses. You know, in court, there sometimes the lawyers throw out something to get your mind there. But I want you to understand that she went out there in their country, whatever it was they were doing, she went there without the covering and the protection of her father. She went without her brothers being there. She went out there looking to see what was in the neighborhood.
We used to call stuff like that meddling. Could have been innocent. But do you know these people? But you went. Please read.
And his soul cleaved unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel.
Notice now, she's going into this place where you don't fully know the culture. How could you fully know the culture? Unless there's something that's left out from the time she got to be this age that we don't know. You've gone in with another people to see what these people are doing. Maybe it's interesting. Maybe it's fascinating. But the prince, the person that has authority, the person that may be one day the chief or in charge there, he saw you and he wanted you. Mm-hmm. And he decided that he was going to lay with you. He wanted to sample your goods. That's a good way to say it. You got children up in here. But you know when you go to certain restaurants, they let you have a sample. I went to a place the other day called Whole Foods, and they have a multiplicity of things cooked, and they had some kind of macaroni and cheese made with blue cheese. I didn't really want the macaroni and cheese, but I wanted to see what it tastes like. So I was going to buy just a little bit, maybe about a spoonful, but the lady said, you can sample it. When I sampled it, I didn't see it tasted any different to me than the other. So I didn't buy it, but I had sampled. What are you getting at, Tim? What are you getting at? We have a picture in the scripture where a young man decided to sample the goods of this woman. Do I need to be more direct? Do I need to be more direct? I know how the Bible was. And this man decided to sample what this young woman had. What she had of her own, and he decided, I'm going to sample it whether you allow me to or not. I will take the choice away from you to give me the opportunity. I decided I want to do it because of who I am. And so he sampled her goods. And once he sampled her goods, he decided, I love her. I want her. I'm going to keep her and not even send her back home. Now, what do you mean, Tim? You brought the illustration up of the samples and you brought the illustration up of the macaroni and cheese. Why did you do that? Well, I want you to think that there was another man in the Bible that we read in the Bible that we have studied when we talked about the kings, when we talked about fathers before. His name was Amnon. Yes, it was. His name was Amnon. It probably still is Amnon because to God, all men live. He had a daughter he had a sister that was so wonderfully magnificent and magnificently wonderful to his eyes that he said, I love her. Didn't he say it? And he wanted her so badly that he concocted a scheme once he heard it by, Jonadab, to take her. And he did the same thing to his sister. He sampled her goods. But the word of God said he didn't love her. The same love that he loved her with when he wanted to sample was equal to the hate that he had when he decided, I don't want the sample. In other words, he didn't like the sample that was given. That's what the samples are when they give you some in a restaurant. We feel that what we have is so good that you will want it. And I understand that women in our culture today, they think that they can give a man a sample and that he's going to marry her and take care of her. No, he's sampling everybody just like the honeybee go from flower to flower. It goes back to the whatever it is and make the honey, the comb, the hive, yes. And often that flower's forgotten about. Everybody else goes and samples it over and over and again. Well, why are you bringing this up? Because I want us to hold it in the back of our mind. This man did this. Same thing happened with David. And yet, Jacob's name has been changed. If you are thinking because you've come to God as a father, as a person that loves God and nothing can happen in your family that causes you problems or things to think about, that's not what the Bible reveals. I would think, if I had never read the Bible before, this man's name has been changed. He's got smooth sailing now, happily ever after. But we see that it's not. Tree, let's read on that because I've kind of planted some seeds in my mind that help me build on where I want to go.
His soul cleaved unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. And he loved the damsel, and spake kindly unto the damsel.
Seemingly, this man was better in his treatment of her than Amnon was to Tamar. We've discussed that already, so you can read some more.
And Shechem spake unto his father Hamor, saying, get me this damsel to wife.
And he says, you know what? I will marry this woman. Get me this woman to wife. That means I want to marry her. Please read.
And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field.
Now, if you read that, you would think that Hamor and his father, he came and told Jacob, but that's not what it says. I thank God for allowing me to be able to read some of what Josephus said. Now, whether this is true or not, he said that some of the servants went out with him, some of the servant girls, remember Jacob had servants, and they came back and told him. It did not say Hamor did it, came and told. It does not say that Shechem, it said he heard that they had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Lord have mercy. Please go from where I said defiled his daughter.
Now his sons were with his cattle in the field.
Now his sons were with him in the field. What do you need me to do? Okay. Give me just a technical moment. Is this better? I'll get something to attach it to.
The bell is fine.
All right, now change the microphone here. Should I leave it here? All right. It wasn't picking up. All right. Am I speaking loudly enough?
Yes.
All right. Let's go back to where we were. Now, he has defiled this woman. That's an insult to a father. That's an insult to this family. This man has treated his family in a way that ought not so to be done. This is the family of God. This is a family with a father that has gone through a lot to learn to get to the position where he can be with God. He's been humbled by God, and here is misfortune coming. Now, there's a thing when I did what is called a Bible word study. That word where he defiled, it can be also translated as an outrageous thing. In Genesis 34, it took its place when they did that to her. In Deuteronomy 22 and 21, it talks about where a man that does some things like this, he could be stoned. In Joshua 7, it talked about when an individual takes devoted things and certain things that he do, and he's done an outrageous thing, he should be put to death, burned with fire. Same thing when it came, it called an outrageous thing when I'm reading in the ESV when this man Amnon did that to Tamar. In Jeremiah 29 and 23, it talks about the outrageous thing that they had done in Israel when they committed adultery with the neighbor's wives and things. What I'm showing is that this is used in that sense of sexual sins, because some people say it may not have been rape. It may have been consensual. I want to say that the word that is used there does not allow for that interpretation. Please read some more of the sweeted word.
Jacob held his peace until they were come.
Now, this is where my problem comes in. Now, you all know we have discussions often when we get through going through a passage. If in this passage today, when we get through, you have nothing that you can think of that's different than what I've said, or some kind of insight, maybe you didn't study it before. Maybe you don't feel the gravity of this, because I don't know why he held his peace. I don't know. I can tell you what I think. I can give you some possibilities. One is that I don't know what to do yet, because I haven't heard from God. And I need to hear from him. Two, it could be that I need to talk to my sons. Because me versus all of them by myself, I'm not enough. That would bring in the element of fear. The other is in that culture. This is some of the things that people would do to get a wife.
They would actually go in and do this. Listen to what I got in the about the Assyrian law. This is coming from the background of this IVP Bible background commentary. Ravishing of women. Rape as a means of obtaining marriage of a marriage contract was apparently one of the stratagems used in the ancient Near East. Law regulating this practice is found in Exodus 22:16-17. So it was known. But now, as I was talking to Ann on the way here, was saying in Exodus, that does not erase what happened over 400 years before. But I'm just letting you know that it was there. Listen to what God said when he addressed the issue. If a man seduces a virgin who is not betrothed and lie with her, he shall give the bride price for her, make her his wife. If the father utterly refuses to give him to her, he shall pay money equal to the bride price of virgins. Deuteronomy chapter 22:28-29. If a man meets a virgin who is not betrothed, this is similar to what has happened here, and seizes her and lies with her, that means sample her goods, then the man who lay with her shall give to the father of the young woman 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife because he has violated her. He may not divorce her all his days. The IVP background says that the Middle Assyrian laws and the Hittite laws, they did this. They often required the rapist to pay an especially high bride price and sometimes forbid the possibility of divorce. That's in Sumerian Law 7. And likewise, Genesis 34 deals with the case where a young unbetrothed woman leaves her parents' home with permission, etc. Was that okay to bring some of that to light? Because like I said, I don't fully know why he didn't move. You're in another place, you're in another country, and this is how they do things. And I don't really know what to do. But I submit to you that his silence is going to be deafening in this passage. Read some more, please.
And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him.
Now Hamor did not hide it. He went out to meet this man face to face after he's done, as what some people call, the dirty deed. The dirty deed. He went out to meet him. Please read.
And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it. And the men were grieved, and they were very wroth.
Now, what happened is back then, men had a greater respect sometimes for their sisters. I'm not going to say all, because I've told you about Amnon. But they were very grieved and wroth that they had taken this young daughter. I was reading in one of my sources, and I thought I had it up. Let me see if I have it. It says that they believed that, I think in the book of Judith, in the Apocrypha, that she was only about 12 years old. Now, don't think about that in American sense. Don't think of it in the American sense. They could get married young. Woman started to be able to have her cycle, they could go ahead and get married. But she was still young. She was still taken against her will and could not fight against this prince. And these young men, when they came in, they were grieved with what this man had done to their family. Please read.
Because he had wrought folly in Israel in lying with Jacob's daughter.
Did you catch anything right there when you read that dream? Did you catch something? Let me show you what the net should have caught. What did he say they wrought folly in what?
In Israel.
Have they ever called themselves the Israel before? No. Well, last time we were reading in chapter 33, it was one man called Israel. Mm-hmm. Now they've been here for a while and they call themselves Israel. They've attributed the name of the Father to them as a nation. We're not big, but he wrought folly in Israel. Would to God that men would understand when they read this passage. Your family should be so united with you that they can identify themselves with your God. God is the one that changed his name to Yisrael or Israel. And then changing his name to Israel. And they said they wrought folly in Israel. An identification has taken place with the name that the father was given when he was changed from Yaakov, Jacob, to Israel. That's an important statement. The first time that I can remember ever seeing the family align themselves with Israel. You read some commentaries and they'll say such and such about Jews. They're no Jews yet. Mm-hmm. They're no Jews yet. Mm-hmm. If it is, it's only one.
Right.
Judah, whose name is praised.
Right.
These are Israelites now. Mm-hmm. These are the children of Israel. And he said they have wrought folly in this nation or in this family. Saints, we need to carry ourselves and conduct ourselves in such a way that when our family members are violated or when things happen in our family, they've done it to the family. Please read.
And Hamor communed with them, saying, "The soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray you, give her him to wife."
He says nothing about the rape that we know. It said they communed. So I will grant that there's a possibility that it could say that he took her, he saw her, but he wants to marry her. I will grant that. I'm not going to fight the battle whether he told him he raped. I think it's already understood that it had been happening. I think it's already understood that my daughter is not here and my daughter is back at your camp. That's already understood. But they commune. And he says, "My son longeth for your daughter." Read some more, because I'm not going to comment yet, because I'm getting a little upset.
"And make ye marriages with us, and give your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you."
I want us to understand that Jacob's name has been changed to Israel, but do you think that he ever forgot the displeasure that his father had? Whenever Esau married a Canaanite woman, do you think he ever forgot the displeasure that his father had when he married outside of the family? Do you think that he ever forgot that Abraham had sent his servant to get a son from his own family for him to be able to have his mother Rebekah? Do you think that he ever forgot that Rebekah sent him back to his own home? Now here you are with a daughter of your own, and here this man has violated her and taken away your choice, because often the fathers were the one to give the wives, the children, the daughters away to be married. And he took that. And now your daughter has Canaanite seed in her. Whether she's pregnant or not, that matters not to me. And now they're wanting to do mixed marriages. We've just got through saying that they've wrought folly in Israel. Now you got the opportunity to weaken the family. Tim, what are you saying? What are you saying? Everybody should not be allowed to be in your family. You ought to be able to look at who this family is. A daughter ought to be able to see what this family is about. A father, and brother should be so close to God that you don't allow your family members just to mix and breed with everybody. I understand somebody say, "Tim, you don't get that choice now." But I'm talking about what is optimal. There should be a type and a character. There should be something that this person has as a standard before you decide, "This is who I want to be in my family." And this man is coming and asking the father, while the brother's there, "Can we make marriages with you?" Read that part over again, Dre. I believe it's at verse 8.
"And Hamor communed with them, saying, 'The soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray you, give her him to wife.'"
9.
"And make ye marriages with us, and give your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you."
That would have weakened the line that God wanted. Do you understand that the culture from the outside is now trying to squeeze and infiltrate the inside? God wanted them to be the family, to be the light of the world, not mixed with somebody else. They already have identified themselves as the family of God, Israel. If you go and make marriages and you have all these sons, and they start mixing and mingling, and before long you have lost your identity. I submit to you that that is something that Satan wants, is for us to lose our identity as a family of God. Mm-hmm. I submit to you that a father should be so close to God, and his son should be so close to God, and the wife, that you, when you go away from God's word, you lose your identity with your family. Not just the family of God, but if your family is not a family of God, it doesn't matter if you lose your family's identity. Remember, for them, family was what we would call church. Family was, God was giving them a culture with him as the head. God was giving them access to follow him, to be the people that the world would be blessed through. And they came right out and said it. Make marriages with us, your sons and our daughters. We can be one. I submit to you that if a man that has a family does not teach his children how to be one with God, and his children go and they breed and they become one with somebody else that's not of the family of God, you have started losing your family name and your family identity. Your family should be, in the case of Gary, Gary L. Timothy L. What do we mean by the adding and attract God to the end of an ayah on it? Because they would use that for like Yah. Oh, we don't necessarily go and call the name and put it on our name, but our family should be identified with the God that we serve. So now they're wanting to weaken the family. Please read.
And ye shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you.
Now this man is talking as if he has something to give. But Jacob has already been promised this land. And he's bought a part of it. But these people are saying, we will come and be one with you, and you be one with us. Is that not what our society does today? Come and be with us. Be a part of us. We will accept you if you will lose your identity. Give up that Israel. Become half Israel and half Hivite. Give up the very distinctive that you have in making yourself a nation. Give up the distinctives you have that makes your family different, so that you will no longer be a light and an instruction for me, but we'll blend together and we'll influence each other. And since I feel I have it all, I'll be more of an influence to you. Please read the Word of God. I will also submit to you, when we read further along, we're going to see that one of the goals was to totally assimilate them into their culture. So much so that we would get their land and their cattle. You think our society just wants a part of us? They want all of us. Yep. Lastly, in this little part that I'm giving, most of the time, by the time the society assimilates into our family, the father, the mother have not too much say so they can have in the child's life, because the child will have been influenced by outside sources so much so that they'll disrespect the father, disrespect the mother, disrespect the home. Unless we can give our children a clear vision of who God is, what will be your family's identity? It's whoever they assimilate with. Please read.
Dwell and trade ye therein, and get you possessions therein.
We'll give you stuff. Mm-hmm. We can have an economy. Mm-hmm. We can have a thriving economy. So we see you have stuff, and we have stuff. No harm, no foul. But we haven't mentioned the daughter that we raped. We will give you a picture of what you can get, but we're not talking about how we defile your children with BET. With MTV, with music that we have, with the stuff we teach in school, sound like when I used to get a whipping. And the thing is that you get to the place that we have defiled your children, but we promise you so much from school, we promise you so much in the job world, we promise you so much, but we don't even talk about how we defile your children. We can see that Jacob has been quiet. What about us as families? What about us as fathers? Have we been quiet while they continue to defile our children? Please read some more. This thing hits home.
And Shechem said unto her father and unto her brethren, let me find grace in your eyes, and what ye shall say unto me, I will give.
Let me find grace. I have defiled your sister, took away your choice, have done something to your seed that should not have been done. But let me find grace. Let me find grace after I've taught your children not to believe in God, to just feel like the world just exploded and this is why everything is. Let me find grace in your sight after I've taught your children the very opposite of what God has anatomically designed us for physically so that we can be married, man and woman, husband and wife. Let me find grace in your eyes after I have set up a culture and that teach your children that God is irrelevant and studying God's word is stupid. Let me find grace in your eyes and then come into your assembly or your church and show you how to worship. Let me find grace in your eyes and let me show you how to family. Let me have an influence in your family. Although I've defiled, I'm going to make it better. There'll be some benefit for you. Please read.
Ask me never so much dowry and gift, and I will give according as ye shall say unto me.
Look, whatever the price is, I'll pay it. Whatever it is. Usually, you pay a dowry, and often the father would give a gift to the daughter, so if there was a divorce, she would have something. You don't even have to ask. You don't even have to pay that. Just tell me what the wage is and I'll pay it. Now, the last verse, I believe, of this chapter, the boys are going to make a statement. Should they have treated our daughter like a harlot? What did this man just say? Ask me what?
Ask me never so much dowry and gift, and I will give according as ye shall say unto me.
That could be part of why they said what they said when they said, should they treat our sister like a harlot? You decide. Defamation is there. Read it in English, please.
But give me the damsel to wife.
But give me what I want.
And the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor his father deceitfully, and said, because he had defiled Dinah, their sister. And they said unto him, we cannot do this thing, to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, for that were a reproach unto us.
Now here is something that we have to consider. One, this man has made an offer that under their culture is very respectable. Let's bring it into play. He has made an offer that is very respectable, commendable, over and above. Because remember now, they had their own culture. They had their own way. And he felt that he was good in what he was saying. Even the Bible will say that he was more honorable than his brothers. It did say it. You'll read it in a minute. But the young men, they brought something into play. This man is uncircumcised. We have a covenant with God. And the token of that covenant is circumcision. But the Bible says, Andrina, the Bible says, so when the Bible says it, let's not skip it. They use deceit. Not because I have to say, this is for effect. Have you ever used God's precepts deceitfully to get what you want? A true principle, something is true, but you use God's principle to get what you want. Now, we are familiar with many times people that are in the position of ministry use God's principle deceitfully to get what they want. There are probably some women that have been married to men that listened to them because they were in a position of authority in a quote-unquote church, and that woman had married this man because deceitfully he used it. God had told me that you were the so-and-so, or people have been kept from things that they would normally have, but the person deceitfully used God to keep them from doing what they would because I want you to stay in my assembly because I like your offering. No doubt wars have been started because somebody used God's word deceitfully, yet what they said was right insofar as to give her to an uncircumcised. But the Bible said, if he hadn't added that, but he But it added it, and it wasn't for play. It was for us to consider. That's what the Bible tells us. Meditate on his laws. Meditate. Think about it. Let that stuff unravel in your mind. See what they're doing. See what they're doing. And what they're doing that's right and what they're doing that's wrong at the same time. What's the motive? And I got another monkey wrench to throw in it in a minute. But read on, Dre.
And the sons... I'm sorry.
Go back to where you were then.
And they said unto them, we cannot do this thing to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised. For that were a reproach unto us. But in this will we consent unto you, if ye will be as we be, that every male of you be circumcised. Then will we give our daughters unto you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people.
One people. Did that stick out to anybody? We'll be one people. Do you understand that the way that they are talking, the way that they're responding, remember they use a deceit. Who has been deceitful in their family? Daddy has been deceitful. Am I right? Mm-hmm. Hasn't the mother of one of his wives been deceitful? Hasn't Leah been a party to deceit too? Mm-hmm. Yes, she has. Yes. Mm-hmm. She didn't tell Jacob when she went in there, I'm Leah. Our culture is such and such. And I know you don't like me. Hadn't that grandmother been deceitful? Miss Rebecca? Miss Rebecca, 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 let down your golden hair like Rapunzel. Deceitful. Help Jacob with the deception. Jacob had been deceitful. And they've seen Jacob had to rectify. Their uncle Laban had been deceitful. So now they're deceitful. And they knew that what these people were wanting was to be one people. And so, since we perceive in what you're saying, you said we'd marry, they'd marry, sons and daughters would mix and mingle. So, you all are a reproach to us and our God. Well, where do you get that from? When Jacob went there, he built an altar, didn't he? And he called it Eloi Israel. So it's like, we got a God. And we can't do this. But if you all would do this, and it won't matter that much to you all. You don't know our God. You don't know the history of our God. But if you would just say that you'll be one of us. You know, like I used to go up in a church where they didn't want people to marry outside of that church. Yes, they did. Mm-hmm. And so if the woman would get the man to come and join the church, he didn't have to live anything. Really, he didn't have to do anything. But just come and join that church and say he would. You know, like the song said years ago, say yes, now. And what they would just do is say, yes, I would be governed by the rules of this church. I would be a part of this church. And they would go ahead and allow them to marry and be one. These people have used religion to say that if you go and join us in our covenantal relationship with God, or join in the token, we'll be one. Other than that, we got a threat. We got a threat. If you don't do it, we'll take her back. Please read.
But if you will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then will we take our daughter, and we will be gone.
As if there would be no consequence other than we'll take her. We see you want her. What woman does not know that if a man wants to sample her goods so much that she can get something from him? I mean, if he really, really want a sample. That she can't get him to take her somewhere, to buy her something, to spend time. It's only after he samples most of the time that the women lose power. Yes, Lord. And so what happens is, this man has already sampled, but he wants her. Not just, I believe, because of the physicality of the situation, but I believe that this is a test for the family. This is God setting them up to be a light to the world. Therefore, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For him he did foreknow that he also predestinated to become conform to the image of his children. And remember, Paul is quoting, and he's telling the, we're writing and telling the people about stuff that happened back when we're talking about now. This is going to work out for good, although it doesn't seem like it right now. He's already given the threat. Verse 18 said, the words of their saying did what?
Pleased Hamor.
Hamor, I can do that.
And Shechem, Hamor's son.
It pleased the king or the chief and the prince. So that's half the battle there. Please read.
And the young man deferred not to do the thing, because he had delight in Jacob's daughter. And he was more honorable than all the house of his father.
This man did not I want her so badly. She'll be mine with the blessing of the father, with the blessing of the brothers. And they got stuff too. Oh yeah, they got stuff too. And I'm going to go do it. Now the saying, please the father, they're not asking much. They didn't even ask us for our goods. And yet all they asked us to do was just to cut a little skin, a little foreskin off. Oh, that ain't going to kill us. Lord, we don't hurt anything. Read on, please.
And Hamor and Shechem, his son, came unto the gate of their city.
Now, remember, Hamor, the man that's in charge, Shechem, the man that is more honorable than all his father's house. That's a pretty good team to come to the place where business is handled, the gate of the city. And they came to the gate of the city. And I want you to listen very, very, very closely to what this man says and then compare it in your mind to what was told them. Dree, give us a reading.
And communed with the men of their city, saying, these men are peaceable with us.
They didn't fight us. Read on.
Therefore, let them dwell in the land and trade therein. For the land, behold, it is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us for wives, and let us give them our daughters.
Listen to what these men have just said. No doubt, if you hear me well, Pop, they've been there for a while. They've not started any trouble. They know that they are peaceable men. They have not started any problems at all. And even after this, they hadn't started it. But, here is something that we're gonna talk about. In that culture back then, when nomads would be on the outskirts of a city, not inside the city, often what they want to do is become one with the people in the city. They have privileges to go in and out and buy and trade and get gain. This was something that they were saying that they were offering them of great significance that other people would really want. This was something that would be highly favored. Remember, God told them, when you go in there, children of Israel, now this is when they get ready to go in the promised land, don't make no league with these people. Don't make a treaty with these people. You're separate. But they're saying, they can be one with us. We can marry their daughters. We can have their sons. We got enough land to do it. So they're making these things sound really wonderful. But has there been any mention of Shechem raping this girl? No doubt, even if they had mentioned it, wouldn't have seemed to be a bad thing. That's the culture. Please read.
Only herein will the man consent unto us for to dwell with us, to be one people, if every male among us be circumcised as they are circumcised.
They're not asking us to do something that they haven't already gone through. They'll be one with us if we'll partake in their religious R-I-T-E rite. Please read.
Shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast of theirs be ours? Only let us consent unto them, and they will dwell with us.
We will consume them. Their cattle, you know those young that he didn't want to drive hard for Esau, they're big, now they made babies. You see, they had donkeys, they had asses, same thing. They had sheep, they had goats. And it said everything they had, it'll be ours. We can trade with them enough that everything they got will be ours, and it get to be so much they will end up probably being our servants. But now, do you understand? Here is a temptation that could have been there for Dinah. I could be the wife of a prince. Just don't leave that out. I could one day be queen. But if we get circumcised, circumcised. You see, we're going to paint this picture. Man, if you will let us cut that skin off, I know it's going to be hurt. You don't want nobody touching that unless you're on the other team. Unless you like to do that Canaanite stuff with me and lay with men or beast. But if you will do this, look at what we can get. We've seen how much cattle they had. Sheep and goats. And so what did the Bible say that the men decided to do? Verse 25.
And it came.
24,
And unto Hamor and unto Shechem, his son hearkened all that went out of the gate of his city. And every male was circumcised. All that went out of the gate of his city.
Imagine they went home thinking, man, they got sheep, they got cattle, they got everything. And I don't know how many I'm going to get, but I'm only trying to get me some. And girl, you know, you can marry them. We can get a big dollar. I might be able to get two sheep for you, girl, because the value of a woman, I love him to do it, how pretty she was. Mm-hmm. How pretty she was, or if she was of royalty. And men was, you know, this thing made everybody feel, seemingly, from the way the passage is written, that there's something I can benefit. If nothing else, I've benefited. I'm going to benefit from hearkening so that Hamor can get what he wants. Please read.
And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword.
I want you to understand something about globalism right here. When you give different families, different cultures, or different nations coming together saying they'll be one, don't you ever feel that they're coming together and everybody has the same agenda? Don't, if you see that some are coming together and they have less to offer than the other one, less military than the other one, what benefit is it for the little one to come together with part of the big one? What benefit is the big one? Because somebody has an agenda. And rest assured, in this little area, we saw right here these two groups that while one had one plan in their mind, the other had another one. One was, I'm going to get that stuff and we're going to benefit economically. The other one is that we're going to cut you and we're going to execute a judgment. Read, you see it?
Took each man his sword.
Each man had a sword. Now, we didn't even know they had swords before. Please read.
And came upon the city boldly and slew all the males.
Now, the agenda with them when they were setting up for globalism is to get you into a weaker position so that we can handle you. Because we don't like something that you did. So instead of coming boldly while you were in your strength, we got you to weaken your guards. I said, the Bible said they did it deceitfully. And they were masterful with that deceit. Don't you ever think that that wasn't a masterful ploy? It worked. Don't you think that it did not allow those men to be weakened and incapacitated because of their trust and reliance upon the words that they used God for to get them to that position? I want us to understand something when we look at this passage here. These are real people. And they got their sword and went in and killed every man of the city because that leader allowed his son to do what he did. And instead of rebuking him or chastening him, now something else is coming. Now in the case of Jacob, because of the fact Jacob in dealing with his sons and with Dinah kept his mouth shut. And he didn't deal with it in some kind of manner. Now we understand that when we look at in the, later on, David got very upset with Amnon when he raped Tamar, but he did nothing. He did nothing that we can discern. But Absalom, her brother, said, I'll do something. He waited 2 years, and he vindicated. As a father, there are some times that we need to be indignant. We need to really speak of the indignity done to us and do something about it. If we just let injustice sit on the table, I submit to you that things will exacerbate and things will happen to get out of our control because we didn't act. Let me say this again. Bring it down. Bring it down to life. When the disciples had an issue with the Pharisees, Jesus dealt with it. Did he not?
He did.
Now, when we talk about a family, let's go back in our own family. I'm talking about real family. Not talking about nobody else. Talking about marriage. Talking about Owens. Talking about Thomas's. Talking about Wallace. We're talking about family. When things have happened in the family and people that were in charge, sometimes it might not have been a father, did not deal with it. Things continually go on and on and on, and it gets out of hand. Therefore, often children can mistreat each other in families, and it's allowed to go on. People can steal from each other in families, and it's allowed to go on. Talk about people and hurt other people in the family, and it go on. Because when the father has the chance to deal with it and stop stuff and nip it in the bud, he lets it go. He forgets that he's got a God-ordained role to maintain order and to let them know what God wants so that it'll be a part of their lives. You don't deal with the problem, somewhere along the line, somebody will, and those that are not following, God will do it incorrectly.
Right.
Most of the time, there'll be hell in the home. Somebody say, Tim, you stretching that just so you can talk about your family. I know what the rest of this book going to talk about. Mm-hmm. I know when they're going to, those same people going to say, oh, Joseph. And I understand that they got used to doing things their way when the father didn't act.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we speak a word for Israel. I don't know what he was going to do. Scripture doesn't tell us. Don't know. And that's what we'll be discussing. I'm open to hear what somebody got to say. He could have truly been waiting to hear what God said. But, he did not stop them when they said that again. His silence was just like consent. It's a hard thing being a man. You know, you talk about a man in a house. When I look at a man, tell me he's a man in a house, and I look at his family shot all the way to Gehenna, to Tartarus, Hades, and Sheol. That's hell for people that don't understand those Hebrew Greek words. I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you, partner. You want to be proud for that? It's like I was talking to one guy one day of the Nation of Islam. And he's talking about black man. He want to give me something. Talking about black man is the original man. Black man is the first man. Black man is the best man. And I'm saying, you believe that? Yes. And you proud of it that you feel that the black man was first? He said, yes. I said, then how do you feel about the black man being the first one to sin against God and cause every problem in the world to be that is today? And I looked at him. I don't think I can ever remember him giving me an answer. You don't want to brag about if you think that you're going to claim right to the first man as something to be proud of. I want to be identified with the second or the last Adam. Because that's the one my identity being tied to will give me life. But the first one, I get flesh. So let's go back to where we were, Dree, where they had made this issue and they came upon the people with the sword. Please read that again, because I know I interrupted, but that's where the place I want to interject.
And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males. And they slew Hamor and Shechem his son with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out.
Did you catch something in there? Did you catch that it said that Simeon and Levi were Dinah's brothers? Mm-hmm. Now, do you think that they had forgotten that when they were going to see Esau, that they were not in the rear guard? Do you think that they had not understood that the father wasn't very much enamored with their mother as much as Rachel? Do you think that there's a possibility they felt that we're not considered to be as much as Joseph? And we were here first. Our mother was married first. But it's like we're being put under them. Do you think that it might be that they felt that if it had been Rachel's daughter, Never would have been different. Don't think these are real people. Mm-hmm. That's why I needed to be in this family. That if I say something to one of my brothers that does something egregious and the other one, and I don't say anything, do you think that they don't have feelings? Mm-hmm. Oh, you'll say something to me. You don't say that to him. Well, he didn't say that to me. He said something to him. He must like me better. Mm-hmm. God is not a respect of person. But in every nation, those that will obey him and fear him, he hears. How dare me to have one aunt that I'll treat with indignity and ugliness, and another one I treat all with respect, given everything being equal. How dare me to have one uncle that I'll tell the truth to, and the other one I don't say anything because I'm scared he won't like me. How dare an aunt has a nephew or has a niece and they don't go by God's word irrespective, or brother to brother, sister to brother, because somewhere along the line people understand what they, how you're going to treat them. And they can tell if you have injustice in your treatment that favors them, or if you always own me. If you deserve to have somebody always own you, that's an issue that you have to deal with through conversations and community. This is why. This is why I'm correcting you. So we don't have to go there anymore. But anyway, the brother. I don't think that was put in an accidental. It says Simeon and Levi's with her brother. Now, they came in and they slew every man. They made that whole country suffer because of what those people did, as if they all had something to do with it. Mm-hmm. Now, I want you to understand, there are some commentators that say that this is a type and a figure. They don't use those exact words of what God told them to do when they go in to inhabit the land. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you something. Some of the things that God tells people to do in the New Testament, don't read that back in the Old Testament and say that this is what they were supposed to do. Don't say that. But you can think, is it possible? But don't let your anchor be there and say, this has got to be. Just like when I read in Deuteronomy that if a man raped a woman, he would have to marry her. That came after. We can understand that God often gave things in the law that went back to things that happened there. But they did kill them all with the sword. But remember, they used deceit. I'm going to throw another monkey wrench in there for you to think about. When Rahab the harlot was saved, she used deceit. She would have never got to the position of being able to be saved unless she had hid the spies and said they went another way, or that they were already gone. If you heard, you might catch them, but they were in the house. I just want you to understand that there are divergent views on what these boys did. But I'm going to come down that what they did was cruel and that it was wrong. And I'm coming from Jacob's mouth in the 49th chapter of Genesis. But I'm saying that something needed to have been done. Something needed to be said. And the father didn't handle it, and he allowed them to handle it. Mm. And but you can say something when they handle it wrong. Mm. It's amazing, you know, like when you're going to do a dinner or something like that, and somebody else, they don't have anything to do with it, but they got something to say about what you fix, when you are capable of fixing it yourself. In the words of my late cousin Simeon, leave me alone. He's a little bitty boy. You pick him up, leave me alone. Sometimes you need to leave me alone. If you could have done it so well yourself, why didn't you do it? Read, Dream.
The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister.
Please read.
They took their sheep and their oxen and their asses and that which was in the city and that which was in the field and all their wealth and all their little ones.
The little ones, go ahead.
And their wives took they captive and spoiled even all that was in the house.
And so the very thing that those men were thinking they were going to get, the sons of Israel got. Mm-hmm. Some believe that when it said the sons of Israel, that was the rest of them. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't say Levi and Simeon anymore. Mm-hmm. And because of the fact that's a lot of stuff they had to carry out. Mm-hmm. But they did. They killed a lot of people. Patricide, matricide, and left the children and the animals. Please read.
And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house.
Based on what you have done in this culture, what you have done to these people that are really kin to each other, Canaanites, Perizzites, the Hittites, Hivites, you've done this. You put us in a position for us, for them to come against us and slaughter us. Although I didn't do anything, what you did was of such egregious nature, the consequence of such, that we could all be destroyed. Because you went over and above what should have been done for what they did. Over and above. I didn't do anything. At least the passage didn't show me. But what you did. Because where did they learn how to murder? Well, let's say that you say it wasn't murder, it was punitive. Where did they learn how to kill? They didn't get that from Jacob. There was something, some kind of rage built up for what they did, and they went and executed judgment over and above what was just. And they used God's name to be able to do it. Jacob said, you made me to stink. It's just like we plundered them. Took stuff. And we got the women and the children. And we sitting right out here in that land. Wonder what he could have done differently as a father. Wonder if he had treated them all equal. Wonder if he had loved them as much. Wonder if he had made some real serious negotiations and some consequences that was worthy, would they have done this? I think not. Sometimes as a father, sometimes as a parent, we don't deal with issues and we cause harm to our family because it's not just us. Sometimes they wait to see which way we're going to go. And if we don't go one way or the other, somebody usually will act. And usually the person that acts the quickest and the most impetuously do something that's wrong. And then we can have something to say. He has not lost his role as the patriarch. He has not lost his role as being a child of God. But yet he's got some issues to deal with now that he wouldn't have had before. Somebody impetuously left. Somebody impetuously executed judgment. Somebody did not say something right away. Somebody waited and he didn't stop them from what he told those Shechemites to do. Because what they said sounded good. It sounded as if they had the wisdom. Don't think that those patriarchs in that culture would not listen to their sons. Because remember when Laban came? Laban came with his father Bethuel when they came to get Rebekah. And you find that Laban did most of the talk. The older sons often had something to say at a particular time. So as far as I'm concerned, Jacob gave his assent to it, or his consent, by not saying, no, that's totally impossible. I think for all practical purposes, it sounded good, except for the marrying. And then when you say they're going to do this, you think that maybe God's going to let us inhabit the land this way, and they're going to be a blessing through me because they're marrying our family. That's not what God wanted. Read that last verse right there, please.
And they said, should he deal with our sister as with a harlot? Whew.
There was no remorse that I seen in Hamar what his son had did, and I saw none in Shechem. I see none in those boys there. None. We feel justified. Can I take a word from Ashley? They felt sanctified in what they had done. You know who I see the remorse in? Jacob. And Jacob. As a father, I think it's going to be hard to get it right all of the time. Especially if God doesn't just say, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. But rest assured, we should be, as a father, so much so in trying to be in contact with God, praying and communing with our children and with situations that we have a say-so in, that we don't relinquish our responsibility and let somebody else take it, that we can keep ourselves and our children from certain consequences that are too grievous to want to bear or to want to think about. Not only that, but our own heartache and pain because we didn't act. If I could go back and get our ancestral parents that I talked about and bring them on the scene, go back 5 generations and let them see what their offspring are like, what our families are like in this 5th generation, would they have any remorse? Would they be pleased to see how disjointed many of us are? How many of us don't like each other in the same family? Or would it be like, well, you know, that's just the way it was the 5 generations before us? Somewhere along the line, some of us got to say, look, we want a family of God. That is the only glue that can hold us together. Somebody say, well, blood, can I see on TV the Menendez boys kill their parents? There was a woman in Atlanta to shoot her son in the chest because he was fighting her. And I applauded her for not letting him continually beat her like that. She had no defense. They're brothers that kill each other, steal from each other, take brothers' wives. That is not what God desires for families. When people see a family that's under God, and you see a group of families that's under God, and they work things out, they get along, they don't fight one another. When issues come up, they deal with them the way that they should. That's attractive. That's attractive. And that would be something that could draw people to God. That's what we need here in Seeking the Truth Ministry. But in the case with Jacob, in spite of his failures, God is there. But I want you all to please pay attention to the struggles and the pain that they go through, that the fear and the anxiety they have to go through. And in this case, I attribute it to him not handling the situation and allowing those that's not in charge to handle it.